Rules and Elections Committee. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 2583. And as soon as our committee administrator gets back here, we're going to let him call up the amendment to do the House Bill.
Mr. Chair, members, the -A4 amendments to House Bill 2583 make two changes to the bill. The first would be substituting the term fire service professional for firefighter or volunteer firefighter, so that the Department of Transportation would issue a permit to a fire service professional for solicitation on or near a highway. The second major change is that the solicitation is, for any type of solicitation, the bill is written, or the Ann Gross actually had a solicitation of charitable donations, but legislative council deemed that to be a constitutional problem, and so now the -A4 amendments just changed that to solicitation. And we also discussed conceptual amendments that the Department of Transportation would like that would make plural fire service professional, so that if a group or if a fire department wanted to participate in solicitation, then they would just issue one permit to a group of fire service professionals. So the changes that they have proposed to the -A4 amendments are on line 11. You would delete the first A and put an S after professional. Line 12, you would put an S after professional and delete the S on the word shows. Line 13, you would put an S after the word professional and change the word has to have. And that would satisfy the Department of Transportation's concern about having to issue multiple permits for one event.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Are we in work session?
We're in work session.
This is on a statement for the committee. I'm going to move the -4 amendments to House Bill 2583 that includes the conceptual amendments as read by our committee administrator.
Any discussion? Any opposition? Hearing none, for order.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2583 as amended for defense recommendation.
Senator Tarnow has moved House Bill 2583 as amended to the floor for defense recommendation. Further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Breyer?
Aye.
Senator Ricardo?
Aye.
Chair Starr?
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, House Bill 2583 moves the floor to pass recommendation. Carrier?
Well, okay, Mr. Chair.
Senator Farno will carry.
Deep enough.
We've been done our little before. We can do it again.
We're going to open a work session on executive appointments. And our first appointee is Frank Focus, appointed to the Board of Medical Examiners. Mr. Focus, please.
Practicing on yourself? Well, I let somebody else do that.
You traveled a long ways. Tell us why you want to be on this board.
I guess I'll be traveling a long ways if I get appointed. Mr. Chairman, Senators, thank you for having me here today. As a way of introduction, I'd like to make a brief statement about myself and the reason I wish to serve on the Board of Medical Examiners. For the last 8 years, I have lived and practiced surgery in Ontario, Oregon. In that time, I have helped start our local ICA and served as its president. I've been our hospital's chief of staff and spent time on the hospital's board of directors. in some capacity or another, I've been involved in every disciplinary question that has come up about a member of our medical staff over the past 6 years. In addition to a fairly busy private practice, I'm also a clinical instructor for the Department of Family Practice at Oregon Health Science University. Every month, a different young family practice resident comes out from Portland to learn a little bit about surgery. Because of this, we have had to deal with issues on how to provide a good learning experience at a non-teaching hospital without affecting the safety of our patients. We also tried during the residents' brief stay to give them some idea of the benefits of practicing medicine in rural Oregon. Though the above-mentioned experiences are far from unique, I do believe that it has given me an exposure to a broad number of issues that impact on practicing physicians, such as managed care in a rural community, working with hospital boards and hospital administrators, providing a safe teaching environment, working with young physicians, and balancing physician disciplinary actions with patient safety. When I was asked to consider being nominated to the Board of Medical Examiners, I was flattered, but flattery is not sufficient enough reason to serve. Practicing medicine, doing surgery, teaching, and serving on committees can be frustrating and time-consuming. Despite the time commitment and frustrations, I have found these experiences to be quite rewarding. It is my hope that serving on the Board of Medical Examiners will also be very rewarding. Just for that reason, I would like you to look favorably on my appointment.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, I issue this motion. I move the appointment of Frank Spokas to the Board of Medical Examiners before a recommendation that the appointment be confirmed.
Senator Tarno has moved the appointment of Frank Spokas to the Medical Board of Medical Examiners. He moves before a recommendation the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Byer?
Aye.
Senator Tarno?
Aye.
Aye.
Having received the necessary majority, the appointment of Frank Spokas to the Board of Medical Examiners has moved the floor to be passed. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thomas Fitzpatrick, Construction Contractor Report.
Good afternoon, Senators. Sheriff. My name is Hans Patrick. I imagine you have all this in front of you, but I'm a remodeler from Portland, Oregon. I was nominated by the members of the Oregon Remodelers Association. Had a letter. I feel like I'm up here with the crutches at this time. I too was fairly humbled by the invitation. And have experience working as a sole proprietor since 1993 in Portland. I have seen out there in the business a lot of consumers that have been hurt, not for practices of my own to my knowledge, and would like to serve on the board to assure good practice by all those in the trade.
Thank you.
I've got a quick question, Mr. Chair.
Please.
Mr. DeVallo?
Pardon? Thomas Fitzpatrick.
Patrick. Okay.
I'm going to do a long application, so I'm fine.
Actually, there was somebody's application that had been photo-aired online. I saw somewhere somebody had asked me a question and I inquired.
Okay. Mr. Just a question from your attitude, not that I don't imply that this group has from you, but I've had a couple people come by my office and ask during the appointment process, they ask the applicants about their attitude towards the adequacy of bonds that are out there for contractors now. There's a sense that they're not high enough. And the second piece is in terms of enforcing stricter consumer protection laws. The board, just your thoughts about that. I wouldn't expect you to have a big opinion on it because you haven't been on the board.
The bonds, I believe, have just been recently raised. As to the adequacy or percentages, I'm not
fully sure of the total value of a bond that should have to be posted on a job of, depending on the size of the job, that most remodel projects might undertake. The most contractors that are registered with Ford, I'm sure would comply with whatever the recommendations are, aside from having to. The most of the people that are registered, I believe, will do the work to satisfy the bond requirements in the event of some problem. I've never had a bond issue, and I've never really known people through my peers that have had bond issues that they even had to use.
The third question, I think, goes to the bonding for licensing purposes.
Yes.
That's what you were driving at. Yeah.
It, and the bonding for license purposes as to the value.
And thousands, whether that's adequate.
Once again, I've never been up against a situation where a bond had to be enforced. I imagine that $15,000 has been fined by people with a greater knowledge than mine to be adequate, though. As to the consumer protection group, repeat that?
There's just a sense by many people that the agency is not doing as much as it could or should in consumer protection. I'm not saying it's necessarily widespread, but there's a lot of people who believe that the agency was created as a consumer protection agency and that the board has not seen fit to do that.
And once again, not being on the board. I agree it was, yes, it's a consumer protection agency. The, as far as adequacy or how much protection is afforded to consumers, I think the greatest thing that we can do as a board is to educate the consumers as to how to go about doing their selection of a proper person, and then not just making that selection, but also educating them as to proper contracting requirements, what should be in the contract. I think the greater awareness of that, if there'd be some way to become a little more consumer friendly or a little more consumer aware, aside from people being notified of the construction contractors board in the newspaper, if we could make them aware as to what they should request of an individual or entity prior to contracting with them, I think that they would be much better served. As far as contractors coming into the business, something that they should learn, there is no such thing as a quick buck in this business. I've never met anybody who does good work that can attain that, and if people are after that, they shouldn't be in the business. And so teaching the contractors as they come in to learn what the real value of a contract is and how to value their services properly so as to not to have the conflicts. I believe probably for the most part that the reason people get into conflicts is that they have not fully looked at the cost in the contractor's case, and they're not fully aware of their cost of doing business. In the consumer's case, we're looking at the bottom line versus possibly a safe contract.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I move the appointment of Thomas Fitzpatrick to the Construction Contractors Board of Four with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed.
Judge Porno has moved the appointment of Thomas Fitzpatrick to the Construction Contractors Board of the Four with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Byers?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Tarno?
Aye.
Chair Stoll?
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the appointment of Thomas Fitzpatrick to the Construction Contractors Board has moved forward to that recommendation. Okay, thank you very much.
For consideration.
Walt Gamble, Construction Contractors Board.
Good afternoon. I'm Walt Campbell. I live in West Lynn, and I'm an applicant for the Construction Contractors Board. I've been contracting since graduation from Oregon State in their construction engineering program in 1969. I present extensive experience in contracting, and that phase of contracting, which I think is probably the Contractors Board's business, and that is the agreements and the resolution of those conflicts that come from good or bad agreements. I'm making this commitment to the board on the basis of duty and service to the industry. I've served actively with the Associated General Contractors, who is the nominating party in this case. I've been on their board of directors, served as their president. I've experienced accounts for this sort of work and a great deal of patience. I'm enthusiastic about serving the board and helping it move along. I've been aware of its process and developments over the years as the changes that you all have made to the board have come about, and I'm looking forward to serving.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, I remove Gamble. The appointment of Walt Gamble to the Construction Contractors Board, to the floor of the recommendation of the appointment be confirmed.
Eric Tarnow has moved the appointment of Walt Campbell to the Construction Contractors Board be moved to the floor with recommendation of the appointment be confirmed. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Tarnow?
Aye.
Sheriff Carr?
Aye. I receive necessary majority. The appointment of Walt Campbell to the Construction Contractors Board is moved forward. Recommendation appointment be confirmed. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May I say something?
Yes. You may.
Not again. But I try to help my constituents when they have trouble with government agencies. And this is one that can, is it Kirkendall or what's the head?
Yeah.
Huh?
Mr. Kirkendall.
Oh, yeah, Kirkendall, yeah, right. And he's been very, very helpful and helping to resolve them. And I just hope with you on board that.
Yeah, we've likewise found it very helpful, and I've dealt with the board on both sides for quite some time, so I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
Thanks. Dylan Larson Hill, appointment to the Government Standards and Practices Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dylan Larson Hill, and I'm from La Grande, Oregon. I've been a member of the La Grande City Council for 12 years. In 1995, I served as president of the League of Oregon Cities. I'm currently chair of the past presidents of the League of Oregon Cities, excuse me, which is a resource and a leadership training team which goes out and assists city councils throughout the state. And during my 12 years on the council, I was able to up close utilize the services of the commission, the Government and Standards Practices Commission, because I currently work as a paralegal, and unfortunately when you're on the city council and you work in the law office, conflicts of interest seem to arise frequently. So the commission was able to assist me to avoid problems. Some of you may know I work with the law firm of Mott, Baum & O'Hanlon, and one of the senior partners is Ray Baum. You may remember him. And while I'd like to now switch gears and work on the other side, having received advice, excellent advice from the commission, I would like to work on the commission and assist council and elected officials.
Thank you. Question.
Said the right words.
I also think it's important that folks from my side of the state serve on commissions, because if we're not represented, we have no right to our opinions. So we make that commitment. We do a lot of traveling, and I was up at 5 o'clock and on the highway this morning to be here, and so I am committed to this cause.
Mr. Chair, I would move the appointment of Guy A. Larson Hall to the Oregon Government Standards and Practices Commission to the floor with recommendation that the appointment be confirmed.
Senator Carno has moved the appointment of Guy Larson Hall to the Government Standards and Practices Commission, Oregon. He moved to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Everybody.
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator
Carno?
Aye.
Senator
Carr? Aye. I receive the necessary majority. I'm by Leon Larson Hill the Government Standards and Practices Commission. Move the fourth recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Russell Williams, the Board of Board Rules.
Senator, my name is Russell Williams. I'm currently employed at Oregon Health Sciences University and have been for about 12 years now. Prior to that, I spent 21 years in the Navy as a water operator and engineer on a ship. I have extensive experience both in operation of plants, large and small boiler plants. Also spent about 4 years as an instructor of water control systems at Portland Community College. I've had a lot of experience, and I feel like I'd like to apply the opportunity to extend some of that experience to the other side of the systems instead of operating, make sure that they get installed and operated properly. And I really appreciate your consideration today.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Mr. Chair, I would move the appointment of Russell Williams to the Board of Boiler Rules to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed.
Senator Tarno has moved the appointment of Russell Williams to the Board of Boiler Rules to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Any further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Byer?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Tarno?
Aye.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, Russell Williams' appointment to the Board of Boiler Rules, move to the floor as a recommendation appointment be confirmed. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your consideration.
Misty Wittenberg, Board of Examiners, Nursing Home Administrators.
Yes. Thank you so much for considering my appointment today. I appreciate that very much. I need to tell you a little history about Kaiser Retirement and Healthcare Village where I work. My name is Misty Wittenberg. In 1980, my parents purchased Kaiser Retirement Center, as it was called then. We had 30 residents at that time and 6 employees. And we took it and put some capital improvements into it, expansions, and then in 1987, we bought a nursing facility that was existing while building a new nursing facility, moved those residents over to the existing because of the certificate of need process, and began a nursing facility in that area there on the same campus. We also then in 1990 added on to our campus and put our retirement apartments in. I share this with you. Now we have 250 residents and 170 employees. So when I tell people that I've been in this industry for 19 years, they compliment me and tell me you don't list your age. I appreciate that very much. But over the 19 years, I have probably held every position available, activity director, housekeeper, dishwasher, and most of it has been what I call voluntary labor. It doesn't pay very well. But when you're part of the family, this is how you learn character. And so currently I am the general manager at Kaiser Retirement and graduated from Oregon State University in 1992. Got a Bachelor of Science in Healthcare Administration, 2 certificates in Gerontology and Human Services. And the reason that I wanted to be a part of the Board of the Nursing Home Administrators is because I strongly believe that it is imperative that individuals who choose this career receive an appropriate training and that the tools necessary to implement the quality systems that will exceed standards that are being set. It takes a unique individual to work in this industry and maintain a cheerful attitude in this industry day after day. An administrator must be able to relate to all personality types. He or she must be kind, patient, compassionate, and humble to those around them at all times. An administrator must have the charisma and the leadership skills to pull a team together. This individual must have a passion and a genuine heart for the job. If they do not, it will be evident and the team will break down. A broken team means the residents who reside in the facility will not be receiving consistent quality care. The families who are putting their trust and dollars into a service they expect will not be having that service, the expectations met. Quality care and quality workmanship in all departments begins at the top. Our administrators must lead by example. They must hold their staff accountable. And only by these actions will we meet the expectations of the population that we serve. I bring to this board experience in management, supervision, and teamwork, the ability to maintain a facility financially, and above all, God-given common sense. If you have any questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, are there any questions? Okay, I move Mitzi Wittenberg to Board of Examiners of the Nursing Home Administrator. That's the four of the recommended DTAC.
Senator Shannon has moved Mitzi Wittenberg, Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators, to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Byers.
Aye. Senator Courtney.
Yes.
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Senator Ricardo.
Aye.
Senator Carr. Aye. Senator Stevens, the necessary majority. Misty. The appointment of Misty Wittenberg to the Board of Examiners and Nursing Home Administrators moved forward. Recommendation that the appointment be confirmed, and we thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Gary Richmond, State Board of Higher Education. Gary.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Richmond. I'm a professor of chemical physics at the University of Oregon. I've been in academics for the last 19 years. My passions are teaching introductory chemistry to students, particularly freshmen, working with my graduate students to do research in the area of laser optics and state-of-the-art electronics, and also working on a national level to help set science policy and funding agendas for science in this country. So I feel very deeply about higher education in this country as well as this state. And I'm encouraged by the change that I've seen in very positive sense towards higher education in the recent months. And I'm happy to participate and be asked to participate as someone who can help form the changes that I think are necessary in higher education. So I thank you for considering me, and we'll answer any questions that you have.
Just
a comment for those who don't know. Dr. Richmond is one of the outstanding professors at the University of Oregon and was one of the small groups that we brought to the state with some of the first lottery funds in the research. I forget the exact terminology.
Centers of Excellence, Andre.
Excellence, and has done an incredible program and is very highly regarded by the students at the U of O for the leadership and mentoring of young women.
Thank you, Senator.
It's a pleasure that she's willing to serve on the Board of Higher Education. And Mr. Chair, if you would, I would offer that we, I got to get the text right. I would move the appointment of Dr. Richmond to the position of the State Board of Higher Education to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed.
Senator Barr has moved the appointment of Jerry Richmond to the State Board of Higher Education to the floor with the recommendation appointment be confirmed. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Barr.
Aye.
Senator Courtney.
Yes.
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Senator Smoe.
Aye.
Aye. I receive the necessary majority. The appointment of Jerry Richmond to the State Board of Higher Education. Move to the floor with recommendation that appointment be confirmed. And we thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Senator Byer, for your kind comments.
We have Grant Zato, Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland. Mm-hmm. Okay. a moment and let the committee administrator tell us what we're doing here.
Mr. Zato's appointment is actually two appointments. The first one is a new appointment for the term of July 1st, 1999 through September 30th. And then we have a reappointment for October 1st of 99 through September 30th of 2003. And the reason we did this, the reason the governor's office sent these over together is that the first term is so quick that we take care of it all at once here today.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Senators, and I appreciate you seeing me this afternoon. I guess a little background is that in 1966 I started an apprenticeship with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers and served that four-year apprenticeship and became a construction electrician. After serving in several different capacities within the local union in what would be considered more of a I'm a little nervous here, so I'll try and get it out. In a non-paid status, let's put it that way, volunteer role, in 1992 I was brought on staff, and my assignments were public sector agreements and single employers, which was something a little different than what I had done in my work life previously. I feel that I've done that job, understand the public sector areas, have worked with the port to actually administer two of the agreements, used to administer also the Port of Portland when the port had it, and I will relinquish those if I am appointed and pass those on to someone else. So I feel that I work in a lot of different committees and areas where consensus is a big issue, and it seems to me that when I've been at the port, that that's part of the commission's charge, if you will, to get the work done, to see that that people work together.
Thank you. Any questions?
I have one. So, since you're filling out a term, is that why you're just partly from July to October?
Right.
Okay, then would you be eligible for another appointment? Okay, then if it worked out at the end of your first 4 years that you are not for some reason confirmed, would you continue serving or would you step down?
You know, I probably should have researched this, Senator, but I haven't. In terms of that, I know that there is some controversy there, and I can't honestly tell you what I would do. It is somewhat my understanding that the governor has the ability to do that if you haven't served two terms, but I'm not sure that I fully understand what the process would be.
So you, if the Senate rejected you the second time, you're not sure what you would do?
Well, I'm not.
because there's a debate going on right now.
Right, I understand that there is, and it's unfortunate that if the Senate has rejected you, that you continue to serve. I think that is a real dilemma. And, you know, this puts you on record, I suppose, as to what you would do. But absence being asked to continue to serve, I would not.
He said that backwards.
No, he said it very clearly.
Absence being asked, meaning if the governor... you got it. I got it. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's it.
You could. No, we need a motion, Mr. Chair.
I remove the appointment and the reappointment of Grant Zato to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland to the floor with a recommendation that the form be confirmed.
Sergeant Torno has moved the appointment and reappointment of Grant Zato to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland to the floor. Recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Byers?
Aye.
Senator Courtney?
Yes.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Carlo?
Aye.
Senator Charles?
Aye. I receive the necessary majority to the appointment of Grant Zato to the Board of Commissioners, Port of Portland, and the reappointment as well has been moved to the floor with the recommendation that the appointment be confirmed. And we thank you.
Thank you.
With that, we're going to. We've got all the appointments, but I have someone willing to carry those.
Oh,
Courtney will carry the appointments.
Did you do this, Jeff?
we have done all of the appointments today, and we're going to do recess until 2:30 and go to the floor, take care of some business.
Okay.
We're coming back in.
To see this here.
Consideration of drafting a major introduction request.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the following Senate rules and elections request for drafting and subsequent introduction. Number one, the covenant marriage bill dated 6/24/99, and number two, constitutional referral relating to cost responsibility for transportation funding dated 6/29.
Senator Shannon has moved to approve the following Senate rule for election request for drafting and subsequent introduction of the marriage bill dated 6/24 constitutional referral relating to cost responsibility for transportation funded dated 6/29. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Ricardo?
Aye. Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the drafting and subsequent introduction of the Senate rules and election requests have been approved. The chair would, we're going to open a work session on SDR 43. The chair would desire a motion to move SDR 43 to Committee on Public Affairs.
Mr. Chair, so move.
Senator Torno has moved SJR 43 be referred to the Committee on Public Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
That's without recommendation, and clerk will call the roll.
Senator Shannon?
Aye. Aye.
Senator Ricardo?
Aye.
Senator
Clark? Aye. I received the necessary majority. SJR 43 is moved to the Committee on Public Affairs. And?
SJR 59.
Who's next?
I'll do it. Okay.
Good session.
We open a work session on HJR 59.
Mr. Chair, I move HJR 59. Raise your hand.
Senator Torno has moved HJR 59 to Ways and Means Committee. Question?
No, just a minute. This said referring it to public affairs, but that's not correct.
That's not correct.
Okay. Okay.
Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Torno?
Aye.
Aye.
Senator
Aye. I received the necessary majority. HJR 59 is moved to Ways and Means. I'd like to open a work session on possible reconsideration and work session on House Bill 2199.
Mr. Chair, I move to suspend the rule for purposes of reconsidering House Bill 2199.
Senator Tarno has moved to suspend the rule for the possible reconsideration House Bill 2199. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Adams?
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Torno?
Aye.
Senator Sellers?
Aye. We now have before us House Bill 2199 for work session.
Mr. Chair? Senator, I move the committee reconsider House Bill 2199. Papers.
Yes, that's right. I'm ahead of myself. Senator Tarno has moved that the House reconsider House Bill 2199. Any discussion?
It's really the Senate.
Senator.
He said House, but he came from there.
Thank you.
Okay.
For that correction.
All right.
We reconsider House Bill 2199. Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Senator Shannon?
Aye.
Senator Torno?
Aye.
Senator
now the act for reconsideration in the work session.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2199 A engrossed to public affairs.
Mr. Carno has moved that we refer House Bill 2199 to the Committee on Public Affairs. Clerk, call the roll.
President
Hill.
Aye.
Senator Shannon.
Aye.
Senator Sherman.
Aye.
Yes, sir.
Aye. I receive the necessary majority. House Bill 2199 is moved to the Committee on Public Affairs. That concludes our business for the day.
Just a second. I want to ask you a question. Did we do 2583?
Yes, we did.
Well, may I be recorded as an I vote?
You can show you if you want to.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Sure, I
will.
Sure. Sure. Yes,
sir.
Sure. Well, I just wanted to
record that. Without objection, we... Mm-hmm. Our Senator Shannon's and I vote on 2583. Again, no further business before the committee. Turn the committee on rules and elections.